Welcome, fanatics, to another episode of CFTV Live. I am Adam Gray, joined as always by Rob Gray and Jared Stansberry. Today, CFTV Live is brought to you by our good friends, AgriGold Hybrid. They know corn. Guys, we got a nice little podcast on our hands today. We got some recruiting news to hit on for football, and then we'll have a little fun going through the schedule.
It's going to be a nice little podcast. Nice. I'm not sure we're going to have enough time.
I don't know if I'll have enough time.
It'll be rapid fire all the way through.
I don't think Rob picked up on what we were putting down there.
No, I don't think he did.
I don't give a crap.
Rob, you ever seen Old School?
I have.
You have? Yeah. Fill it up again, buddy.
All right.
He doesn't get it stuck.
Frank the Tank?
I watched it once or twice.
Yeah.
Right around the time it came out.
He's drinking his wild cherry Pepsi in the party.
Busy Saturday doing what? Well, nice little Saturday, actually. Okay.
Go to Home Depot, maybe Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll have enough time. But we will have enough time because we make the rules here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. So we will get in everything that we plan on talking about, which first and foremost is the commitment of a wide receiver from down in Texas. I'll hand it over to you, Jared, and you can talk this kid up a little bit.
Yeah, Sterling Galbon, 5'11", 175. From all accounts, he's a little underrated. Three-star, I don't remember exactly his rankings, but three-star prospect from Burnett, Texas. All of his other offers, he got picked up an offer from Nevada yesterday, but other than that, they all came from the Ivy League. I think it was Cornell, Dartmouth, and Columbia. But from other things that I've read, he's pretty underrated. He's a guy that they think is going to be able to come in and fit into that in position, kind of maybe like in the Tariq Milton type mold, and he's fast. I mean, if you've watched any of his videos on Twitter or anything like that, I mean, he's an all-district sprinter and one of the best track runners in Texas, I believe. So,
yeah, he's going to have to be with his size. I mean, that's obviously right. Why he's being recruited by Iowa State.
Right.
What level does he play at? I see he's from Burnett, Texas. Do you know what level that is in Texas?
No, I don't. I can look, though.
We need to find that out. I mean, by all accounts, it seems like people have kind of been coming out since he committed to Iowa State and saying this is a nice pickup for Iowa State, and he's a little bit undervalued, probably because of his size, I would imagine. But just to be fair with where I was at this point last year, my big rule of thumb is when you're recruiting Texas, the area of Texas, and every coach in the country, I don't care if you're coaching Syracuse, you're recruiting Texas, right?
Yeah, right.
You're sending people there. It's hard for me to believe that someone has fallen through the cracks that every other Power 5 school has not offered this kid.
He does have some interest from some other schools that maybe they're waiting until camp season and stuff like that they could maybe put some offers out there.
Perhaps. And don't get me wrong. Hey, looks like a great pickup. Iowa State.
Looks like they're in class 4A. I don't know how many classes there are in Texas. I think 6.
Is it 6?
Yeah,
I think so. So, I mean, decent size. Not one of the larger ones, but decent size. Probably playing against really good competition. But also at the same time, probably being scouted fairly heavily, right? And last year, Iowa State got a kid from Cypress, Devin Lamp. Didn't end up being part of the recruiting class, and I came on record and I said, hey, listen, this kid has been seen by every coach in the country, and Iowa State's the only one to offer him.
Looks like the enrollment's 892.
892. That would be one of the largest, if not the largest, in the state of Iowa?
No. That's probably
Valley like, East, way up over that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably like in the 3A range.
890.
What do you think?
High 3A.
Wait, were you saying 892 a class?
No, 892 total.
Total. I'm sorry. I thought you said a class.
Yeah, that'd be very big.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. My apologies. That's my only concern about this kid. Listen, I mean, his tape looks great. He's fast. They're going to put him in the slot, I would imagine, and kind of hope. I mean, everyone's going to try to compare him to the Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, right? This shifty, fast guy, 5'10", make guys miss, get open in space. That is the hope for him, and I really do hope so. But I've watched Iowa State recruiting a lot, too, in the state of Texas, and it's not a state that we've had a lot of success with. Granted, not with Matt Campbell and his staff. Last year, they didn't sign one kid from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They've earned the benefit of the doubt. I'm just throwing that little bit of worrisome out there.
892 would be the 38th biggest school in Iowa.
38th biggest, which is what's 39th? Indianola? So they'd be 4A.
Yeah.
They'd be 4A.
They'd be like right on the edge. Because I know Lewis Central kind of floats back and forth.
Okay.
So.
Look at you doing the investigative journalism here while we're doing the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. See, this is what I do.
Way to step up.
Yeah, thanks.
Spoken like a true non-journalist to call that investigative journalism.
Is that not investigative? I mean, that to me, that's as you, good a work as I've seen from anyone in your profession in a long time.
You looked up some numbers. Investigative realism and journalism is a bunch of different sources looking at really deep and multifaceted issues.
I'll call it more just some research.
I think Rob does not want to give you any credit. I think that's where
I give him plenty of credit.
I think it's okay.
You're fine with it?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I thought kind of the big news, not only did Sterling Galvin commit to Iowa State, but was the response that we saw on social media from a lot of the recruits.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it was funny because Joe Hoyt, that works for the Ames Tribune, tweeted something along the lines of how this is the first commit that Iowa State's gotten from Texas. Well, not commit, but first player, if he signs, he'll be the first player to sign from Texas in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, almost immediately after, he said something like, more commits coming from Texas shortly. Yeah. And I think that you saw pretty early on, especially right after he committed, that he was going to be a guy that was willing to go out there and recruit other guys. I mean, he was getting right on that Rayon Mitchell, the quarterback that's going to be announcing next week on, I think it's Tuesday. He's going to be a guy that's out there that's recruiting for Iowa State. There's a couple running backs that were mentioning that he'd talk to them about Iowa State. And, it's tough with this class because it's going to be so small that at this point they have room to be selective. And especially when there's guys that, like, they're big fish, the John Wagners, the Trevor Downings, some of those kinds of guys, like, you know that they're going to have a spot in the class.
Regardless
of when they make their decision. So they've got to be a little bit selective. And it's like we talked about last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, when you asked if we should be concerned because they had 8 commits or whatever last season. I would say no, because if they had 8 commits, that's almost half the class already.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I don't necessarily think would be a bad thing, because then they could get more selective going down. But I 100% understand your point. You mentioned Wagner. He's since blown up since Iowa State offered him. He's been offered by damn near every school in the country. I mean, it seems like Penn State's offered him. I think Ohio State's offered him. Michigan.
That one might be an uphill battle.
Has the ship sailed on that one?
I don't know that it's sailed, because I think that Iowa State's done a good job of being able to get in there and create some relationships. And, I mean, I did that Q&A with Tom Wilson last week. That
very well done, by the way.
It shows that the Dowling coaches, they like what they see from Iowa State, and they like what they've seen from this coaching staff. So you know that they're going to have an ally right there, at least, if nothing else. And I do think that that's probably going to end up being one that's pretty tough to stay in it with.
Yeah. You know.
But Trevor Downing, that's one that I would say I'd feel pretty confident that they're going to get him.
I think they're going to get Trevor Downing. It seems like he's been down there a lot. These are obviously all of them are unofficial visits. So the kid's taking time out of his – whatever these high school kids are doing these days.
Yeah.
What are they going to school?
What are they doing? You're not that far removed. What are high school kids doing these days?
Going to school.
Taking classes.
Snapchatting?
Yeah, exactly.
You can Snapchat from anywhere, though. No, I mean, but Snapchat, the thing about that is, too, going back to what we said when Sterling committed to Iowa State and he's going to go out and try to recruit these other players, when you recruit these guys, it's easier to do so now because the form of communication is so much easier for them. They can stay interacting. And then I think what it does, too, is it helps solidify a class. I think it helps bring them together. So when you show up as a freshman, when you show up from a freshman and you show up at Iowa State and you don't know anybody else, there's a not only a learning period, but there's a comfort. It takes a while to get comfortable. You don't know any of your teammates. That's kind of almost gone away with now. You show up, you're knowing probably 15 players in your class, I would imagine. Not everybody, if you commit late, and you probably have a good idea of some of the guys that are already on the team, because not only did you meet them on your visit, but you've been able to stay and communicate with them throughout the whole process.
And that's something that I heard a lot when I talked to some of the guys that were in the last class, where they were talking about how they were in a group message with some of those guys that were already in the program and stuff like that, or they were in a group message with everybody else in the class, and they're all, you know, sending their new highlight tapes and all kinds of stuff like that, just trying to, just keep getting to know each other better. But then it's funny because I watched the Fab Five ESPN film the other day, and it's funny because it was like Juwan Howard was talking about how he called Chris Webber 3 times a week. And it was just funny to me that it was like, he had to call him 3 times a week.
Can't you see the cord, the tangled cord, you know?
Yeah.
And he probably was probably a busy signal at least eight times. So he probably called him more than that.
Yeah.
You know, but someone else was on the other line.
Well, and it was probably a long distance.
Probably. Well, Michigan was paying for those bills. Let's be honest about that.
I want to say that Sterling, how do you pronounce his last name?
Galvin.
Galvin.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I mean, I don't know, maybe he's an engineering guy. I don't know if the Ivy League stuff, but I mean, you've got a guy with that Ivy League interest as your ambassador to these other recruits. You know, they've known each other from camp circuits, from other, you know, situations. That role, I think, as the quote-unquote ambassador or, you know, I don't know if we want to call it recruiter, but just somebody who helps make the school he committed to more attractive to others. I think, as you said, it's growing. But I think if you have a guy whose main interest is from Ivy League schools, that's just going to make an even better spokesperson for somebody who's selling, you know, what he finds appealing about Iowa State to others who, you know, might have a few more, not necessarily stars, but a few more big-time schools on their on the recruiting list.
Well, and specifically, I mean, there's the – I honestly don't know how to say this guy's name, but it's like Tazon Henry, he's a running back.
The running back, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was like right away, he tweeted something about how should I join Sterling? Like, how should he come to Iowa State too? And, I mean, he's got an offer list that's pretty impressive. I mean, it's Baylor and Houston and there's a couple more, but I don't
– these guys put this out, are they expecting people to be like, no, man, you shouldn't do it? Of course you should join. Come on.
It was funny last night. He tweeted something like, it's official. And then everybody's tweeting at him like, oh, you committed to Iowa State. And I don't, you know, it doesn't even necessarily mean that's what
he's probably dating a new girl and it's official. Like their face, go check out his Facebook status.
Yeah.
Their Facebook.
Well,
official.
He deleted it right away. So he might have realized that he was being too.
You can't, if you're a recruit that everyone is after, or fans are, you know, stalking every one of your tweets, you can't be. What's the word I'm looking for? You can't have just short tweets. You have to be very concise of what your tweet means. Otherwise, people will be, so does that mean he decommitted? Did that mean he committed? What does that mean? And it will go, and the next thing you know, it'll be an article on the front page of some website.
CycloneFanatic.com.
Potentially. Yeah. Potentially. So you wrote actually a really nice article too about you mentioned earlier, it's a small class. It's not going to be a class of 25, probably 18 kids. We're guessing.
Yeah. I would say that, I mean, there's only 15 seniors in the program right now. So, unless there's some more guys that leave,
there always is.
Yeah. So they're over with scholarships right now, I think.
Are they?
Yeah. So I think there's going to have to be more people that leave.
There will be. But you wrote a nice article about this, about what Iowa State's top three needs are for recruiting. What's number one?
Well, the first one that was mentioned to me was quarterback. I don't know that it was like a direct like 1, 2, 3, but quarterback was the first one that was mentioned to me. And like I said, I mean, Rayon Mitchell is announcing his commitment on May 1st. So whether that'll be Iowa State, I think he's got Hawaii that's coming after him, South Carolina, a couple other ones like that. I mean, so he put up huge numbers in California, like passed for like 3,000 yards and 30 touchdowns and then ran for 1,200 yards or something like that, and 15 touchdowns.
So let's talk about reality. So first off, I think I've said many times on here, I love tall quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So when I first see this is a 5'11 quarterback, a red flag goes up for me. I don't really know. I mean, I know Iowa State's had success with Seneca Wallace, who's no taller than 5'11". They might list him taller than that. I don't think he is. But then you watch that kid's tape.
Yeah, he can play.
Great footwork. The ball comes off his arm really well. Sure, is the height a little bit of a concern, but that's probably the only reason why he doesn't have more offers than he has, because everything else on his tape stands out and says, that kid's a big-time Division I quarterback.
Well, and I think he had a Spark verified 4.442 40. So, I mean, he's fast. Like, this is a kid that is not just a good thrower, but he's the real
– he's an athlete.
Threat. He's like a real dual threat. And, you know, if that's a guy that Iowa State can get into the class, you want to have a quarterback in every class. And
correct.
They're really working hard to try and kind of rebuild that quarterback room. And I wrote this yesterday where it's like it was a little depleted.
A little.
At the end of the Paul Rhodes era.
A little.
A little. What, they have two scholarship quarterbacks when Matt Campbell got here?
I don't think they technically had any. Oh, no, they had Joe Lanning, so they had one.
Yeah. Well, Darius Lee Campbell was still a quarterback then.
No.
Wasn't he?
No.
Had they switched him already?
I don't know yet. Or I don't know. Oh, Dom DeLeo was here. So then they had two.
Mark Mangino's stand by my baby.
They had one Division I quarterback. Was it Dom DeLeo? Yeah, I forgot about Dom DeLeo. Because Rojas had already decided he was transferring to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Sam had graduated. Yeah.
Darius Lee Campbell was still a quarterback at that point.
I don't think he was.
No, I think he might have moved to receiver.
He had already moved to
receiver. Now that I'm thinking
And then he went to cornerback, right?
Yeah. And then I think he went back to receiver.
Back to receiver, yeah.
Now I think he's back at cornerback. I don't know. He's somewhere.
He's in the mix out there.
Yeah.
All right, regardless, they're working to rebuild the quarterback room. They've done a good job of that. Get Jacob Park and Zeb Noland. Get Devin Moore. You want to be able to keep that trend of getting a quarterback in every class.
It's the most important position in football.
Yeah.
So, well, it's a position
Iowa
State.
What about kicker?
Shut your mouth.
It's way and it's important to get a quarterback in every class because those quarterbacks do a lot to help recruit for you. You know, like
yeah.
they're usually some of the best guys that are those leaders that are out trying to add more and more guys to the class. And quarterback recruiting is weird because it usually ends early compared to what a lot of the other classes are or other positions. You don't usually see that many quarterbacks committing like on signing day or waiting for anything like that.
Well, if you think about it, there's a team typically a school only takes one quarterback a class typically. Sometimes
right.
they'll take two. So the numbers are smaller,
right.
it's a numbers game. I mean, you might be able to take four, five, six offensive linemen in a class. You're only going to take one quarterback. So if these quarterbacks don't commit, a school gets somebody else, they're losing their spot. So it puts can squeeze a quarterback into making a little bit earlier of a decision because of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's ironic how important the position is, yet if you drag your feet, people are going to be eager to fill it, and you find yourself, what do we got?
And quarterbacks don't decommit as much, and maybe this is me making a generalization that's not true, but they seem they're leaders, right? They're leaders of the football team. Leaders typically don't back out on their word as much as maybe other positions do. Am I over talking that a little?
And it's that, and I think that it's the same thing where quarterback recruiting, it happens so early that those relationships have to be built earlier too. So maybe you have a little bit better shot of being able to build that relationship before a guy goes out and commits or anything like that. So then it's just they're a little bit more sure before they make their decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus they start to familiarize themselves with the system, the playbook early. So that once they feel that they've gotten a handle on that at a certain school, it would make sense to try to stick with that. Plus you're buying in on the culture early because of the early and dogged kind of pursuit.
Well, and just think of the quarterbacks that have really, like the guys that will commit somewhere and then they'll decommit and then they'll commit to another school and then maybe they commit to another one. Not many of those guys really end up being that successful that I can remember.
No. I mean, there are some.
There are some, but more often than not, it's those guys that are jumping all around are the guys that end up transferring or something like that when they're after their freshman or sophomore year.
And fans spent all this time worrying about whether or not they're going to come to their school for nothing. Yeah.
Right.
I completely agree. So, a week from now, you think Real Mitchell's committing. Is he committing to Iowa State?
I'd feel pretty confident that he'll commit to Iowa State.
So, he will be the quarterback of this class. And then, like you said, the pipeline's built because Iowa State, then the next year's already got their quarterback commit, right? Or is he at two more years? Dwayne Mathis, is he two more years?
He's in 2019. So, yeah, he's next year.
He's next year. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But that one's going to be – that one will be a battle for a while. I think Michigan State's going to try and jump into that one.
It's fine. I mean, that's part of the recruiting game, right?
You're
going to recruit at a big-time level. You got to hold on.
You want to run with the big dog.
I think that kid's big-time, though.
And hopefully, he looks big-time. He's got the size that I like, too. So, the good thing with a guy like Real and a good thing with even like a Dwan – is it Dwayne or Dwan?
Mathis. Dwan.
Mathis. These guys look like they're great athletes to where if maybe let's say Zeb Noland looks like he's got the starting quarterback job lined up for the next 3 years, but Real Mitchell's such a good athlete. You could do what you did with Joel Anning. You could move him to maybe cornerback, safety, wide receiver because this is a guy that you said runs a 4.440.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be one of the better athletes on the team. You can do that. So, I kind of go back to baseball. My college baseball coach always told me when I go to recruit a high school, I always ask, show me your shortstop first and foremost because a shortstop's the best athlete.
Yeah.
Quarterback for a lot of high school teams, a lot, is the best athlete. So coaches can go in there and they can sometimes, hey, I'm not sure if this kid's going to work out for us or not, but, man, he's so good that we can move him other places and do that. So building that pipeline up, I think it gives you flexibility where we didn't have flexibility before. Joel Anning had to play quarterback. We had nobody else. That won't be the case going forward.
Well, I mean, I think, I think specifically even like one of my best friends, he was a quarterback at Clarinda when I was in school. But when he got committed or recruited by schools, they wanted him to play safety or receiver.
Yeah.
And he was going to walk on at Iowa State as a receiver. And it was like, that was the kind of –
Was he the best athlete in your class?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. So it was just like it's one of those things where, especially at those smaller schools in Iowa, if, a guy's really good, you want the ball in his hands all the time. So that's what I would think that situation could be with Mitchell.
Okay.
Even think Cam Akers. He played quarterback last year for his high school.
Get the ball in your best player, especially in high school, in their hands as much as possible.
It sounds like he's going to be Florida State's starting running back. Did you see that?
No, not surprising, though. I mean, they lost Dalvin Cook, and the kid's a stud.
Yeah.
So, no, that's not surprising. I thought, I can't believe Campbell didn't close the deal and get in there.
Then the second position I had in that post was running back. We talked about Tazon Henry, and then LaDainian Webb is another one from Texas that I think – or not Texas, from Alabama that's got an Ole Miss offer. He's got some other pretty big-time offers and put up some pretty big-time stats too in his junior season. So I think that those two are kind of the guys that are at the top of the board. Someone asked me on Twitter about Savion Clark from Sioux City Helan.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the situation really is there.
That seems to have died off a little bit.
Yeah, I think that
quiet.
Yeah, I think that I don't know that Iowa State's backed off, but I don't know that he's quite
ready to make it.
I don't know that he's going to be quite highly as ranked by the time that everything, the dust settles with recruiting for this class.
Okay. Well, I mean, there's obviously need a running back. Iowa State did not take a running back in last year's class.
Right.
Michael Warren, by the time these guys come in, will then have been a senior.
Yeah, he'll be a senior next year.
And Montgomery will be a junior. So I think it's a perfect time to bring in somebody. And I know we hinted on this before when we did an On the Trail podcast. Is Iowa State still looking to maybe bring in someone still this year?
I haven't heard anything about that in a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But, yeah, running back makes a lot of sense as far as the need for this team just because of the numbers. Now, there's a little bit better – the classes are probably going to be, you know, separated a little bit better now with Ken A's unfortunate injury because I'm assuming he's probably going to redshirt. If he doesn't redshirt – that'd be pretty impressive to come back as a running back with an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be.
I'd almost say that would be the best option anyway
for everybody. Yeah.
Then you have a senior, junior, sophomore, three really, really talented running backs spread out. I mean, I think that's ideal. And then you bring in a freshman. And the next thing you know, you've got a nice pipeline built up right there. So.
Don't forget about Ethan Staskowitz.
Who?
Isn't that how you say his name?
I don't remember either.
The walk on from Missouri.
We always have one, don't we?
They said that he's in a battle with Sheldon Crony for the number three running back spot.
Crony did okay in the spring game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he did all right.
They said a lot of good things about him.
Talk about a guy that has had a crazy college career.
Yeah.
I wonder how much different his career would be if he hadn't have had the stuff that happened to him before he got here.
If he hadn't got shot in the hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just come out and say it. There's been enough articles written about it. I mean, it's not a secret.
Yeah.
Well, he would have probably been that year that Mike Warren took over. I mean, he probably would have been
right there
in the mix
to vie
too
for
before
that,
Warren even got that job. I mean, after Tyler Brown got hurt and
Tyler Brown,
where did he go?
from the starting running back to never being heard from again, just like that.
Yeah, he had one big run in the first game of the year.
Yep.
Yeah, he didn't. I mean, he didn't look good, but he didn't look bad either. He looked okay. He looked serviceable. Yeah. Yeah. We've had worse. So this Ethan Starcevich?
No. It's like Staskowitz.
He's the next Mitchell Harder.
I was kind of kidding, but yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
But at the same time, because his name did get brought up a lot. But so did Mitchell Harker's last year. His name got brought up a lot in the spring.
Yeah. I remember talking to an assistant coach before the season started and saying, don't laugh, but he'll play. He's done a good job. And I laughed. And
this kid's only a freshman, though.
I called him an idiot and said he was lying to me.
That's very mean.
I tried to search his name, and I spelled it so poorly that Safari just quit on me. it just vanished.
Blew up?
Yeah.
What you didn't know, you typed in some secret password.
So happens when I'm in hibernation.
The government's coming after you. who's the third? Who's the third position?
Defensive backs, which I don't think is overly surprising. I mean, they brought in four in last year's class. Matt Campbell said from his opening press conference that he'll never turn down a good defensive back. So I think that will pretty much every year be one of those ones where you'll see them bringing in quite a few guys, especially in their 4-2-5 scheme where, you know, defensive back obviously is pretty important.
Yeah. And so they brought in four last year, but to be fair, they, struck out. They had some unfortunate circumstances with a couple, right? They wanted to get six. They wanted to get more than four.
Yeah.
So I think there's still a need there. And if you look at it, I mean, Brian Peavy, after him, the next guy that's set to start is probably a freshman.
Yeah, unless DeAndre Payne is able to play cornerback.
Yeah, Payne. Otherwise, it's going to be probably Arnold Ozuna, who's a richer freshman. So it wouldn't surprise me if they're going out, especially looking for a JUCO guy, a guy that can come in and play right away. And I think you put in the article the kid from Ellsworth.
Yeah, the kid from Ellsworth, Elijah Jones. I think Iowa State and Utah State are his only offers right now.
I like the size.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good-sized guy, that like 6'3", I think. 6'3", 190 or something like that. He's definitely pretty good size. Didn't put up crazy stats in his first year at Ellsworth, but I'd say maybe in sophomore year he could be a little bit better. But then the other one is Vincent Gray. I know that people have talked about him
a lot. Great last name. Don't you agree, Rob?
Absolutely.
God, I like him already.
Michigan.
You can never have too many Grays in your squad.
No,
is there anybody named Gray on the team right now?
No, that's why you got to get that ball rolling.
That's why we won three games last year, Jared.
Might win four if you get a Gray on the team.
You're welcome. So where's, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just got giddy by that last name. Where's Vincent Gray from?
Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah. Who's he been offered by?
Washington State, Purdue. There's obviously more. Those are the two notable ones that I usually write. I usually write the most notable.
We should not recruit both of those schools.
Mike Leach.
Yeah. Mike Leach.
Got him back on the map last year.
He doesn't coach defense.
Who's the coach at Purdue now? It's somebody pretty big, isn't it?
Gosh, who did they end up getting? Let's Google this.
I can't think. I can't.
This is a professional podcast, guys, where we know who Purdue's football coach is. We should know.
We mentioned Payne at cornerback, but that sounds like a pretty done deal, isn't it?
Well, Jeff Brohm.
From Western Kentucky, right?
Yeah, but wasn't he the Louisville quarterback? Isn't that where I'm remembering him?
Ooh, he may have been, yeah.
Let's take a look here. I don't care about the list. I want the playing career. All Louisville. Gosh. Yep. That is a phenomenal find by me.
Didn't his brother play quarterback at Louisville, too?
His brother, I believe, was like a five-star. His brother was big time.
Yeah. Then, like, his whole – I don't know. This could be the wrong Louisville quarterback I'm thinking of, but I think their, like, whole family was deaf or something like that.
This coach was big for the XFL. He was one of the tough XFL quarterbacks.
Mm.
Played for Orlando.
Nice.
Wow. We've really learned some things today. We should. CFTV Live.
You weren't kidding when you said we have all the time in the world. Apparently,
just everyone get comfortable. We got another 3 hours of this. All right. So, good job on the recruiting, by the way.
Thanks. Yes.
Keep it up. It's only going to get busier too, because obviously basketball is right now. The next month, I think, is going to be pretty crazy. Figure out where I was going to class.
A couple more weeks here.
But I also think the next month or two for football is going to be pretty crazy as well.
Once camps start.
Yeah. So hopefully Iowa State, I mean, they got three commitments, two really that count.
Takes a scholarship to add a big-time kicker.
Yeah, yeah. So they're – I'm not saying I'm concerned with how the recruiting's gone, but we'll see. Let's get some people in here a little bit.
Look at this guy.
You got to trust these guys, man.
I do trust them. Hey, I love Campbell and the staff. But it's hard to recruit at Iowa State. It's hard to recruit after winning three games. So they got their work cut out for them. You know what's going to help, though, this year when they go bowling?
You're becoming
one of those.
When they
go bowling this year, people are going to be waiting in line to sign their letter.
They won't have had to buy an extra win to do it.
Nope, won't have to. Probably would have won 10 games, though, if we would have. All right, thanks again, AgriGold, for sponsoring CFTV Live. AgriGold, they know corn. Now, let's transition off. We're going to stay with football, but let's talk Iowa State's 2017 schedule. We wanted to have some fun here and rank the schedule from most likely to win to the most least likely to win.
I'm going to be honest.
From quote-unquote easiest.
Easiest, yep.
Toughest. Or least challenging to most challenging.
You guys went way in-depth with yours. I didn't write anything.
That's all right. I didn't go that far in-depth.
How in-depth? Do you see more than – I have the schedule. I didn't write one word down.
Oh, okay. I thought that you had them ranked there.
Mine's probably most in-depth and most wrong. Most incorrect.
Yeah, see, Rob's got – I mean, he's got some words even that explains why he has each one ranked.
Rob probably has words that I don't even know what they mean on there.
There might be a couple.
There's probably a couple words that I'll be Googling it over here to figure out what the hell he's talking about.
Some of them are just inane, but we'll see.
Yeah, like that one.
Inane? I think it's – you mean insane. Some of them are insane.
No.
All right, Rob. How about easiest game? Starting off, number one easiest game. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Kansas at home. And the reason I'm doing that is even though the Jayhawks are finally trending upward, you know about the recruiting class. They brought in a big JUCO transfer running back, Octavius Matthews, who I think was rated number one by one service. They lost Kinner, who was like a 700-yard guy last year, so he wasn't setting the world on fire. But you could see, I mean, Iowa State needed, I think, a 16-0 fourth quarter to hold out the Jayhawks in Lawrence last year. The fact that it's at home is big. I think KU is on the rise. They had some upsets last year, got shellacked a few times too. But I'm also thinking this is the trap I fell into when we did the greatest players versus most impactful. I'm thinking also some of the impact of the game too. This is going to be down the road. You hope that your team's solidified. You're feeling good about yourself, and I'm gonna go with Kansas at home.
Is their recruiting class still like in the top 10?
Kansas?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that high yet.
It was. Yeah.
I think they got 7 JUCOs, 6 or 7.
You're talking about this year's class.
Next year's class is, it was like in the top 10 nationally.
Team rankings according to 247 Sports. 2018 Kansas, we're scrolling 16th.
Yeah. So, which is still better than, I mean, they've got
2 4-stars and 3 6-stars.
They had more. I think they've had some guys that, those two guys, the 2 4-stars were both guys that Iowa State offered.
They're both from New Orleans. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's call this what it is. There's some shenanigans going on in Lawrence, Kansas. Shenanigans.
Calling out David Beatty.
I hear he's a great recruiter. I hear. Yeah. But why would any 4-star from New Orleans, Louisiana, go to Lawrence, Kansas to play football?
Maybe they have someone on staff that has some deep ties to the Big Easy.
Do they think they're playing basketball? Did Beatty tell them that his name was Bill Self?
Yeah, maybe Bill Self made an appearance.
I mean, this doesn't make any sense. I'm not one that typically likes to call shenanigans on recruiting, but shenanigans. This is
all right.
I think we all know that there might be some shenanigans in Lawrence, Kansas anyway. Lawrence, Kansas.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, what do you guys have?
I'm not accusing anyone.
I am. What do we have to do to have some shenanigans up here? Huh? I want some 4-stars from New Orleans, Louisiana coming up here. Rob, tell me.
You can take that up with somebody on your own.
I'll make a couple calls. Yeah. We'll see what we can do. My number one is pretty simple. It's going to be Northern Iowa. Yes, they beat us last year. They should never beat us. That was a horrible football team last year. I think a lot of that is more because it was Iowa State's first game with the new staff. They looked unprepared. They looked out of sorts. They looked, players running in and off the field didn't look like they knew where they were going. And I think we saw it pretty much the first 3 or 4 games last year. Didn't see it at all, or for the most part, the last 7 games. Mm-hmm. I don't think we'll see that this year. I think Iowa State has a chip on their shoulder. I think they win that game big time.
UNI's defensive line owned Iowa State's offensive
always
line.
Always does. Always does.
That's true. The other times they've won in the last 10 years or so, that's a game that I took the importance into effect, in part because they lost last year and how the ranking goes. But, yeah, I mean, on paper, for sure, you should beat the FCS school. You said they were horrible. Were you saying Iowa State or UNI?
Both.
I mean, UNI.
I was talking about UNI. They were horrible.
Had some injuries wrap up because they went toe to toe with 2 of the best FCS teams on the road right after that game and lost by 3 and 4 or something like that.
We did the same with Baylor and Oklahoma State.
I know what you're saying. I think they had some standout players, but a game that, as you say, Iowa State should always win. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
I would say that would be my number 12 as well.
Okay.
Number 12. Okay. What do you got? No, it's number 1.
Sorry.
Number 2, Rob.
I'm going with at Akron. Akron's 5-7 last year. The only reason I put them, I didn't make them 12, frankly, is I didn't want to make UNI. You know, I used to cover UNI. I've got a soft spot for the Panthers.
Is it your respect for
Tampa? And the amount of times they've beaten Iowa State in recent years. It's not
Hey, Rob, if you say one more time that you respect UNI on this podcast, I'm kicking your ass out of here. I'm telling you right now.
You promise?
Yeah.
Akron 5-7 last year. They always have some athletes. And the one thing about the MAC is those wild cards. You know, there's always one team that nobody expected to be an 8, 9, 10 win team. You're on the road. It's a game you'd better win. You hope those games never pop up again at Toledo, at Akron in the future. This could be the end of an era, and I would rank that as the second easiest for Iowa State.
Akron gave up 24 points to the Virginia Military Institute last season, so I think that Iowa State might win that one.
I think they got a good shot, unless they're somewhere. Their 2017 class was somewhere where Kansas is in 2018 at this point, and I know it isn't. So what do you guys got for?
My number 2 is Kansas. I think you could flip a coin between Kansas and Akron, but Kansas at home.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's that simple. You never know. You go on the road and did the guy sleep the night before at the hotel? Like, what, you know?
Somebody setting off fire alarms.
Fire alarm, yeah. Stuff like that. You just don't know.
Talk about shenanigans.
If you're going to give me 2 just really bad teams, and I think both Akron and Kansas, I know Kansas is a little bit on the rise, but that's more what we think could happen, not what we've actually seen. We haven't seen it yet. So
consistently, anyway.
Yeah. So I'll accept when they beat Texas. I will
take Iowa State did the year before, despite really struggling the entire. Remember that game? Oh my gosh, what a thorough domination of Texas! What was it, 27-0?
It's beautiful.
It was.
I've never been more excited to stop a meaningless touchdown at the end of the game to preserve the shutout.
Oh, that was.
Oh.
Brilliant.
I cheered louder at that point in time than I had in years. That was Unfortunately,
since the 2012 Liberty Bowl, maybe.
No.
Or how about Netton's kick at Iowa? That's a pretty big one.
That
anyway,
that was a good one. That was a good one.
Adam has more respect for Terry Bowden than you do.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah, I got Akron number three on my list.
All right.
I mean, let's be honest. The first three games were mentioned. Iowa State should win each of those games by two touchdowns or more. They
mm-hmm.
should.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you have Akron three.
What?
Do you have Akron three? Or I'm sorry, can't, or UNI three?
I have UNI three. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you.
Just ridiculous. What do you think of that, Jared? To have UNI is the third easiest game. An FCS program that won, what, four or five games last year?
They won five.
Five.
Yeah, I don't know anything about what they have coming back or anything like that. So
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I think Iowa State will win that game pretty easily this season. But
we all thought that last year, too. New program. You know, it wasn't the excuse that, it's the first year under the new program. No, it's the first – or the first game under the program. It's the first game.
We got Panther Robin here.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying – I'm also saying it's such a big, important game. So the pressure is extra high, just how high it was last year. But your first game is always going to be your most inconsistent effort, usually, unless the other team is far more inconsistent and you can steamroll them like they did to you and I once. Other than these battles they've been in over the last decade.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can call me out for it all you want, but I'm calling them the third easiest game.
Yeah, we'll call you out for it.
Fine.
Okay. So the first three, I think, I mean, we have an order just changed up a little bit, but I think the next nine games are worked really fun when you're trying to break this down.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of us might have some of these games three or four games apart.
Yeah.
On a couple of them. Fourth easiest, Rob, go.
Iowa.
What was the score last year in that game?
42-3.
Okay.
So I remember talking and saying Iowa looked in that game better than they did in their 12-win season when I watched them play. They thoroughly dominated the lines. I mean, Beathard was making back shoulder throws that were just perfect, scrambling when he needed to. They were fantastic in that game. Now, I have a great deal of respect for them. Obviously, had a good season last year, kind of unraveled when they lost North Dakota State at home and then struggled at times throughout the Big Ten season.
We've been
But
there.
They lose some big-time guys. Desmond King, you lose Beathard. They lose some guys on the defensive line. And Cyclones are 10-9 in the last 19. That's the reason I put that there, the Cy-Hawk rivalry game. Do I think Iowa's better than maybe a couple of the other teams that I've rated higher? I think they very well might be. Two, three, maybe even four of the teams I've rated as tougher games. But the fact that it's at Jack Trice, the fact that 2 years ago, or, you know, a lot of times these games are really, really close, regardless of, you know, what we see as talent level or perception. I've got that. I mean, and again, the next four I could probably put in a bag and pull one out. I just made it that because of recent history. And Iowa State winning those games many times in years where they quote-unquote shouldn't. Who do you got?
Okay, I'll come back to Iowa. My fourth easiest game is at Texas Tech, a team that Iowa State beat 114-0 last year.
66-10, yeah.
So, 66-10.
Yep.
Okay. And they did – Iowa State beat them, and now they've lost their quarterback, by far their best player, to the NFL draft. I just don't have any – ounce or any bit of respect for Kingsbury as a coach. I think Campbell and his staff will coach circles around him again. It's not going to be 66-10 again, but I look at that as a game that Iowa State knows they could probably hang a 45-50 spot on the board against them again down there, and they'll win that game.
All right. Who do you got as the
Has there been a
fourth?
More shocking Iowa State football game recently than that one?
No.
Other than Texas, 27-0.
Yeah. So much fun. And so everybody that was sitting there watching that 66-10 game, and then you try to tell me that Iowa State shouldn't schedule patty cake teams. 66-10 was so much fun. That was awesome.
But it was because it was against Texas Tech.
No, it doesn't matter.
I remember they got
it
up.
It doesn't matter.
I remember Iowa State got up two touchdowns, and Texas Tech, they have those heated benches.
Oh,
they,
yeah.
They had, like, every player on
every
the team was trying
was
to
like
sit on
this.
The one heated bench.
It wasn't even that cold.
No.
It wasn't that bad.
No. I remember we commented on that.
Right, we were sitting there, and it's like, okay, I think this game might be over. These guys are done.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. Remember when Iowa State beat the hell out of Tennessee Tech? Remember Tennessee Tech when they came to Jack Trice Stadium and we just kicked
their ass? I don't remember, and that's probably because it was Tennessee Tech.
I remember it very well.
It was one of those, almost a tear came to your eye because it was such a thorough.
Yeah, because I got to sit there and just relax and not be sitting like, you know, pacing back and forth like Rain Man, you know, just going back and forth.
Judge Wapner. Who do you got as the fourth?
I don't know. I'm pretty much just agreeing with you guys and just weighing in on what you say.
Thanks for showing up today, Jared.
Well, I'm the one who's
I did my recruiting part.
I'm the outlier today. And by the way, I don't think we're all necessarily saying that, you know, who knows how these games will play out.
But, yeah, we don't know.
We're just putting things into motion.
What's the date today? April 26th?
7th.
Yeah, 26th.
Yeah. So it's April 26th. I mean, we don't know. I mean, Iowa State could get another grad transfer to come in and play that can be a high impact. Iowa State could lose somebody, other teams could do the same. The teams are going to change a lot between now and then to where this is fun conversation in the offseason. I don't want anyone going back when Texas Tech beats us by 30. And
I don't care if they do.
Gray, you're an idiot. They go ahead and do it. Yeah. All right, number five, Rob.
I've got Texas at home. Tom Herman comes in. You know, this was the year, they thought maybe it was last year, but that Charlie Strong's better recruiting, culture change, whatever, kind of elevates them back up, at least to that 8-9 win level. I think there are a lot of pieces there, but they lost a great running back. And for some crazy reason, the name is escaping me.
Devontae Foreman.
Foreman. Michelle's back at quarterback, very up and down guy. I think they'll be better defensively. But at the same time, Cyclones have had, they had the heartbreaker, the deal that led to the impassioned speech and Jamie Pollard speaking in that one game, the strip at the goal line. But they beat them in recent years. Texas came back and won 27-6 last year, I believe. But I think the Cyclones have shown they have a chance to play toe-to-toe with them. But I think Texas is finally probably going to be, back in the conversation, at least as a Big 12 power.
It will probably come down to who is closer to championship level urine color.
Yeah. Well played. I don't disagree with your Texas pick at all. To me, Texas is the biggest wild card in the conference. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I still am not sure that Tom Herman's a great coach, and I'm not sure he's not a great coach. I don't know. Yep. I mean, he had, two really good years, great years at Houston. We've never seen him actually build a program up, though, right? I mean, it's in sustain.
Everybody's been good at Houston.
And sustain it, right? Yeah. I mean, Kevin Sumlin was great at Houston, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey, he's got a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, but Kevin Sumlin, I don't want to say struggle, but he hasn't really exactly been a phenomenal hire at Texas.
I'd agree.
He's maybe a little bit consistent enough.
Yeah.
So I don't think unless you're hiring Nick Saban or Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh, there's such a thing as a surefire bet as far as hiring a coach. Mm-hmm. So to me, Texas is that one team that I think you could put anywhere from fourth to ninth, probably. I mean, because talent-wise, they probably are up there as far as the ninth territory.
Just like they have been the last few years, but yet it just doesn't translate to enough wins.
Yep. So, but I'm gonna go TCU in my fifth spot.
Okay.
It's a game that's at home. They were 6-7 last year. I got a lot of respect for Gary Patterson, but there's just something that's been missing from that program for the last couple of years. And unlike Texas, I don't think they have these five-star athletes they can fall back on. Mm-hmm. I think there's a little bit more depleted. So I think Iowa State, more than anything, can be in that game down the stretch. And then from there, who knows? So give me TCU in the five spot.
All right. Let's shoot up to, sixth?
Sixth.
Mm-hmm. I got at Baylor. Yeah. Obviously, a lot of turnover, a lot of tumult in Waco after all that's happened, which we're not going to go into. But, what's interesting, the new coach, is it pronounced Rule?
Yeah, from Temple.
From Temple. They played a punishing ground game, well-suited to the Big Ten, sort of. I mean, because Baylor's identity, obviously, is the exact opposite of that. How much does that change? Now, I know I don't know what type of hybrid, I don't know where it ends up going, but they managed to hold on to and I think get a decent recruiting class, even though it looked disastrous for a while. But the Cyclones were right there in that game. I think it was, 17-0 fourth quarter that doomed them in a 3-point loss. Granted, that was at home, so I think it'll be a tough game. But I think, it's a middling game there. And Baylor's another team that, who knows, maybe they shoot up a couple spots or down a couple spots. There's so much uncertainty there.
I also have Baylor next on my list. And if this Baylor game was at home, I would have it ranked after Kansas for the second easiest.
I'd probably have it ranked. Yeah, I probably would have it ranked third. Yeah.
This is a team that was started 6-0 last year, mm-hmm. and then lost their next six games before winning the bowl game. Iowa State should have won that game. If Iowa State had just a little bit more depth in the offensive line, probably would have won it by 10 or more going yep. away, because I think they would have been able to continue the success in the fourth quarter. I got to admit, I watched this Temple coach, Rule. I've watched him give interviews on ESPN. Really, really impressed with him. I mean, he walks into a situation that I would not want to go into. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much they're paying me. I'm not taking that job. He's taking it, and he's taking it head on without making excuses, realizing they've done stuff wrong. If I was a parent, I could look at that and say, hey, you know what? Even though they've had a lot of stuff going on, that guy's a good leader. I wouldn't mind sending my kid there. And we've seen it, because even though he came in, I think they had one or two kids that were committed to the whole class, and they finished with a really, really good recruiting class last year. But I still think they're going to be depleted a little bit next year. I still think it's going to be taking them some time to get over the issues that have taken place the last couple of years. So I will put Baylor. What was that? Was Baylor sixth or fifth?
Sixth.
Sixth. Sixth on my list. Why can't I open up this? Because I'm an idiot. There you go.
Jared, feel free to chime in whenever you want, just like I did when the recruiting banter was going between you guys. But
seventh easiest, Rob.
At Texas Tech. Now, the reason I say this, I know you dogged them pretty severely.
Yep, I did.
And rightfully so. I mean, 66-10 last year. I mean, that was thorough domination. Kingsbury is, I mean, real thought that he might not be back. And now this is do or die year. Now, here's the thing. They always have a few guys that are really good. Yes, Mahomes is gone, which is a huge loss. But you know they've got some guys waiting in the wings. They've got some – I'd imagine their defense is at least a little bit better this year. I just think at that place, and the fact that those players that do return have some degree of pride, I would think, just like the Texas team did last year, that Iowa State should have been able to compete with. But they were thoroughly dominated almost as much as Texas was in Ames the previous season, that they're going to have – that extra chip on their shoulder, and they've still got some good recruits. They've still got some good players. I think that's going to be a reasonably tough game, which is why I have it right around the middle there.
What have you seen from Texas Tech? You said where you think their defense is going to be better.
I just think general trends. I mean, it's been bad for a while now, and I know they've been recruiting to that need, and I know even in the Leach years it seemed like defense, what?
Couldn't that just mean that matter. Couldn't that just mean they're always going to be bad?
Yeah, that could mean that. But I'm choosing to say that it might be somewhat improved. And look, that was a team that would have gone to a bowl game last year if Iowa State hadn't shellacked them, or another game that maybe wasn't that close. So it's not like you're talking about a team that was a one-win team. They suffered one terrible loss to Iowa State and certainly had some other bad games too, but they also had a few nice wins.
You say terrible. I say beautiful.
Well, I mean, from their perspective.
Okay. I was going to say.
Jeez, you think I was covering that game going, oh, this is terrible. This is Iowa State scoring at will. Look at Joel Lanning run, knock some guy out, you know.
I was thinking I need to go back up to the southeast end zone and have myself another celebratory beer is what I was thinking.
That's a good idea.
And I did.
So where who you got in this spot?
Who do I have at number seven? Let's pull this up here. I have at number seven.
Iowa?
Texas.
Okay. Texas. We've talked about,
where they could sit. And I think Texas – Iowa State's in a different spot with Texas than they ever used to be. Texas doesn't scare Iowa State, I don't think, like they used to. I mean, they've seen that they can compete with them. Even last year, Iowa State was winning at halftime before playing one of the worst second halves I think they played all year. They couldn't do anything in that, and Texas completely shut them down. But Texas is – they're going to be more talented, but it is at home. And it is a first-year coach they're going up against, first year in the program. There's going to be a little bit of hiccups, just like we saw with Iowa State last year. So I think Iowa State's got some opportunities there to beat them.
Mm-hmm. As American philosopher Paul Rhodes taught us, Iowa State should not beat Texas.
They're you and I to Iowa State, you know. They're what you and I to Iowa State, you know, Iowa State is to Texas.
Isn't that what he said in his post-game press conference?
That. When they crushed him that game. You got to love the candor, though. And you get what he means.
You get what he
means. But you don't like what it projects. I can understand that aspect of it.
Yeah. You got to take it for what it is.
He means those guys are going to have the chance to get the top recruits in the country, and you're scratching and clawing to get – three stars and up three stars. And these guys had their pick many times of five stars and four stars. And
he should have beat them 2 years before in Jack Trey. That was the Jeremiah George strip fumble call where we got absolutely hosed.
Yes.
And it was a hose job.
Completely.
So, I got Texas there. And like I said, just don't know with Herman and that. I mean, have you seen the lockers they put up in their locker room?
Yeah.
Have you seen? I mean, have you seen those, Rob?
No, I haven't.
I want to know what the electricity bill is.
Oh my gosh!
In the Texas football facility. That's the first thing that I thought when I saw those things.
I don't even think they're good looking.
No, they just look stupid.
I think they look dumb.
Yeah.
I'm all for, hey, do whatever you need to do to build your program up, to sell yourself to recruits and their families. But that, I walk in, it's kind of like an eyesore. And to me, do you really want your players to be that comfortable with the lockers?
Right. Well, have you seen like the ones at Oregon that are like, I mean, they look like big closets.
Mm-mm.
Like those at least, I mean.
Walk-in locker.
They at least don't look like.
They're more functional looking.
Like a trophy case. Like That's what those lockers look like to me, is not a locker, but more like something that you would have in your house where you have your nice valuable items on shelves, you know.
Each locker's got a, what, 42-inch screen, flat-screen TV on top of it?
Yeah, that's bigger than my TV at home.
Call Herman up. I bet he's got a couple left over.
Lockers. We're talking lockers.
I mean,
I got to look that up, though, and see what they look like.
Texas has been so soft for years now, and nothing screams, hey, we're really toughening up our football team. Like, let's put in some 42-inch flat screens above every one of their lockers. Yeah,
hey,
that's going to get the job done.
But hey, they'll be peeing at championship levels.
Okay.
Darn tootin'.
I haven't peed at championship level
hydration
in a long time.
Darn tootin'.
All right. So that was number eight?
Seven, I believe.
Seven, yeah. Okay. What do you got for number eight?
I'm going to TCU at home. Now, there's another team that I think defense will be better. I mean, Patterson's track record is to have good defenses. They really struggled. They've had a lot of injuries in the past. I think they really started to go downhill when Boykin had his, you know, image trouble. He was like this exemplar, you know, the things that are right. And then, you know, he has his issues. I think the program took a little bit of a psychic hit there, you know. Yes, they're sort of the school in Texas that tries to do more with less, and Texas in there too, but they haven't done as much with less in recent years. I just think that's going to be a tough game. I mean, they handled the Cyclones, I think, by about three touchdowns last year at Jack Trice, and you know, it didn't feel like a close game at any point. I think they've got enough juice that's going to be a tougher game. But again, like you said, anywhere from the fourth toughest down to probably the top three, I would say you could almost mix and match those teams. I could very well easily put Iowa ninth toughest versus fourth, you know, just a matter of taking history into account and that kind of stuff.
Yep. One of the reasons, just going back to TCU too, that I'm not quite as high in them is it's kind of weird when your offensive coordinator leaves to take the offensive coordinator role at Kansas.
He was the co-offensive coordinator, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Once again, does this guy think he's coaching basketball now? What are these guys doing leaving these TCU to go to Kansas?
Well, you claim it's shenanigans.
Shenanigans, I'm telling you right now. So I don't know. Just throwing that out there as well. We're finally getting to my pick that everyone's wondering why the heck I haven't picked yet, Iowa at eight. Mm-hmm. Now, Iowa, I could afterward. It's a spring game, right? We don't want to look too much in the spring game. But from all accounts, their quarterbacks look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Most important position on the field. But I cannot get over the butt kicking last year. And part of it wasn't just a butt kicking on the line. And it was, don't get me wrong. But Beathard and Vandenberg were on.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't on. I doubt that anybody's going to be on like that again against Iowa State. I mean, there was a lot of times Iowa State was playing good defense. DeAndre Payne was right there. And they made the play. So, I don't know. I just look at it as a bad match for Iowa State. They are physical. Their whole entire front offensive line comes back. They can really just beat up Iowa State and run and control the tempo. And I keep going back to Paul Rhodes' first 2 years at Iowa State, where they lost a combined 70-10 in the 2 years against Iowa. And it wasn't until the third year that he kind of figured out a little bit of how Iowa likes to play, what's successful against Iowa. Because Iowa State's teams technically really didn't get any better. If you look at it, I mean, they weren't getting any better under Rhodes, but he had more success against Iowa. So I'm a little bit hesitant on that as well. Will Campbell make the necessary adjustments right away? And I just don't think it's a good matchup.
I think well, and I would agree. I mean, if I just looked at it on paper and you look at what that team's strengths always seem to be versus what Iowa State's weaknesses always seem to be, you'd wonder how in the world Iowa State is 10-9 in the last 19. You'd think they'd be more like 4 and whatever. I mean, that's what sways me a little bit to put them higher on the list, because that Cy-Hawk game, the rivalry aspect of it, tends to even things out in a way that makes no sense sometimes.
One thing I will point out, I mentioned the quarterbacks being poor, but you don't know, too, Brian Ferentz taking over, being the offensive coordinator. Iowa State will be the second game of the season. How smooth is that offense going to run? That is one thing to watch. Now, Greg Davis is one of the worst offensive coordinators I've ever seen, in my opinion. I thought he was terrible. So you never know. But there could be some issues.
In your offensive coordinator power rankings, where's Greg Davis and where's Courtney Messingham?
They are fighting up an intense battle. I mean, at least Greg Davis has got some accolades. I mean, he did win national championship, granted with Vince Young. But I always thought that I never quite understood what he was doing at Iowa. And I like Ken O'Keefe. I thought Ken O'Keefe did a good job at Iowa, to be honest with you. And he's back.
He's back.
And so that will help Iowa, too. They're not going into it just completely where they're not on the same – those guys will be all on the same page, knowing the system, knowing what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, it sounded like they didn't really know what they were doing in that spring game, though, from some of the stuff that I was seeing.
Yeah.
And another wild card with them is this is a year after a, quote-unquote, semi-down year last year, the big year starting 12-0. Nobody looked at that team going into the season and said, oh, my gosh, this team's going to rattle 12 straight wins, going to knock on the door for being in the playoff. Would have been in it except for a grinder of a loss against Michigan State.
Yeah.
And
that Iowa team wasn't that good. I don't care if they're 12-0.
They
weren't that good.
They won some games that just they pulled out of the fire. Mental toughness, whatever. I mean, just
– soft schedule. Like I said, no one cares about schedule in football, especially when you're winning. But, you're right. They should have lost that Wisconsin game. That Wisconsin, they fumbled inside the 5-yard line like two or three times. Mm. They had a couple games like that. And even if I remember correctly, the Iowa State game that year was close, was it not?
I think it was relatively close.
And I think it was like tied going into the fourth quarter or something. Yeah. I mean, it was a close game.
Like, yep,
it was a close game. And Iowa State obviously wasn't very good that year. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, DeMond Tucker was wreaking havoc.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was when Beathard was about ready to take a safety. And Iowa State looked like they were just going to dominate this game. He gets out, scrambles. Yep. The next thing you know, they take the lead. And Iowa State was about one or two plays from winning that game.
Yep.
I mean, that Iowa team, 12-0. There's been a lot better Iowa teams that have gone 8-4 than that.
I agree, but they wouldn't trade that though.
Even with what happened against Stanford and all that, I mean,
they got to go to the Rose Bowl. I'd go to the Rose Bowl to get shellacked.
No matter what Christian McCaffrey does against you, brutal. But
you say brutal, I say beautiful.
Well, I'm always talking about the team's perspective, the team we're talking about. But all right, let's move on.
All right, number nine.
We're already at an hour, so you guys need to hurry up.
I'm at Kansas State because of recent history. I mean, what blew it up last year? The Cyclones almost had a furious comeback to win it. They looked dead in the water much of that game, and that was again a game somewhat late in the season where the team, West Virginia notwithstanding, where that was a 30-point loss, I believe, but the team kept looking better and better. And the fact that they had that type of comeback against them, they are so due against Kansas State, but in part they're so due because of the track records, which is why I have them ranked at this spot as one of the tougher ones. Again, they can very easily be fourth too. I mean, they've got a lot of question marks, but Snyder himself. Yeah.
I mean,
he finds a way.
Gosh, I love and hate the guy all at once. My number nine is Oklahoma State. I know Chris is high on Oklahoma State. He thinks they're going to win the Big 12, and they very well could. But it's a team Iowa State's had a lot of success against. I shouldn't say a lot of success. They've had of teams that Iowa State loses to, they lose prettier to them than they do to other teams. It's a home game, too. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, if I'm looking between them and Kansas State or West Virginia, and I'll take the team that Iowa State's playing at home. Iowa State should have beat Oklahoma State last year at Oklahoma State.
Oh God, yes. That was another 17-0 fourth quarter.
And they're gonna get better, Oklahoma State, but so is Iowa State, and that's what I keep coming back to. So why can't Iowa State win that game? I look at that as a very winnable game. I don't care how good and how people think that's a top five, top 10 team, Iowa State can beat Oklahoma State next year.
Well, I think so too, but you're still ranking as the fourth toughest. So I mean we know how all that said.
Yeah.
I've got them ranked as the third toughest. Justice Hill at running back can wreak havoc on you. I think they're becoming a more multifaceted team again a little bit, where they can do a lot of different things. They kind of got into that air raid kind of thing for a long time where the running back was an afterthought. I'm kind of with Chris. I think they're that trendy dark horse to upend their in-state rival, their Bedlam rival. I don't see it happening, but I think that's an extremely talented squad that – while every team has to rebuild some spots, they kept attracting some really, really good, particularly pass rushers to Oklahoma State. And I think that's going to be a really tough game at home. But again, doable because we've seen, as you said, Last year had him as well as they have, but they've had him a couple other times.
Drop balls, fumbles. Yep. I mean, just couldn't get out of your own way when you had the game won, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's kind of where Campbell. That's when his big teaching moment kind of really kicked in. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you guys got to step up. I mean, this is Big 12 football. If you want to be on the big stage, you got to make big time plays.
All right, I see that you guys have the two. Guys are the same for the toughest two.
Well, I haven't even talked about my Kansas State yet. Third hardest yet.
We just talked about Kansas State.
But I haven't talked about Kansas State.
You'd really you meant it when you said we have all the time in the
Jared,
world.
Jared, if you need to go, you can get off the podcast.
I'm just telling you that this is going to be a long podcast.
Do we make the rules here, Jared?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I'm just telling
Adam
you.
Adam does.
We just
quit your whining. Jeez. So I have Kansas State third toughest at Kansas State, and honestly, as far as potential to win that game, I think you could put that fifth, like as far as fifth easiest, because you know that game is going to be within 10 points, and Iowa State probably is going to have a chance to win it at the end. Kansas State's one of those teams. They're very similar to Iowa. They're not going to out-athlete you. They're not going to talent-wise. It's not like they're just going to blow you out of the water right away like an Oklahoma could, but they're just so fundamentally sound that you have to go and beat them. They're not going to out-execute you most of the time. So you got to go beat them. It's a team that's returning a lot of nice players, and it's on the road, and a team that we haven't beat in 10 years?
Been a long time.
I mean, it's 10 years now.
And the Rhodes couldn't get it done, and that was a big issue. I mean, the way they lost at Kansas State the last time. I mean, that's nightmares, stuff of nightmares for
– worst loss in Iowa State history.
Yeah, yeah.
The last time we beat Kansas State was the day I proposed to Julie. Yeah, it's a beautiful
day. To bring some sunshine.
It was a great
to
day.
The darkness.
Yes.
All right. So do we have the same two? I've got at West Virginia as the second toughest. They've really, once Holgorsen decided that this was going to be a team that can have explosive plays downfield, but they're going to be a ground and pound you type of team, and they're going to build defense and try to win with defense a little bit. That started to come to fruition last year with double-digit wins. I think they outscored Iowa State 28-3 in the second half of last season. That was a reasonably close game before the blowout ensued. I know they lose Skylar Howard, but they're bringing in a transfer at quarterback. They're high on. Got some good running backs back, Crawford and guys to support him. I think that's just going to be a super, 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 super difficult game in Morgantown. Yeah.
I think they might even take a step back from where they were last year, but I still think it's at Morgantown. And all the reasons you just said too. I mean, that's a tough game. So I'll agree with you. I'll put that 9 and then 10. We're both in agreement at Oklahoma. Iowa State has
toughest game. Yeah.
Iowa State hasn't beaten Oklahoma in 300 years. It feels like were we even alive? It was in 1990.
It's like Howard Schnellenberger was the coach.
91. Yeah.
I mean, So I actually think Oklahoma is going to take a step back this year. I know they got Baker Mayfield back, but Mixon's gone.
P.
Ryan's gone, and Westbrook's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he relied on those guys quite a bit.
Yep.
And he's still good enough to where he's going to give you fits because he can make plays back there. He's got a little bit of that it factor that you just can't teach. But at the end of the day, it's just a game that Iowa State, not only have they not won, but they really haven't been very close on a lot of
things. Last year was a pretty competitive game. So
if I remember correctly, they had a couple guys that were hurt or suspended, and then didn't Westbrook get hurt early in that game, like right away on a jump ball and then play?
Yep.
And so it was just kind of
But you're Oklahoma. Your three deep is loaded with 5-4-star guys.
It was
particularly at the skill position.
It was also a Thursday night game in Ames, Iowa, too. You know, it was just one of those weird games to where it never really felt like Iowa State was going to win, but they did. They hung on. They didn't embarrass themselves on national television.
10 points.
Yeah. So, all right. What do you think?
I think it's a good time to end. We've outlasted most TV shows.
Jared,
I only napped for 30 minutes.
Where are we at right now here, Jared?
An hour and 3 minutes.
An hour and 3 minutes. Man, gosh. I apologize to everyone for providing some quality Iowa State conversation for an hour and 3 minutes.
This is probably it probably only took people 4 drives in their car to get through it.
Or, you know, it's time to mow your yard this time of year.
Yeah,
so get out and mow your yard. It probably takes most people that are pushing. It takes them at least an hour.
Put down a little
You wouldn't
fertilizer.
Know what that's like, Jared.
Oh, don't even give me this. Don't even give me this.
No personal responsibility as far as the yard work goes.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sure you have.
I've done enough mowing in my life to know.
Probably on a riding.
I worked at a golf course.
Riding doesn't count. You sit there. You sit there. You're not even pushing.
I did plenty of pushing, believe me.
All right. Well, this has been a good podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors, Agricole Hybrid. They know corn. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Jared.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.